kinds of language for healing. But one word they didn't have was getting better. Now, I'm into getting better. And I think the lepers went away better when they met Jesus. That the woman who had that flow of blood went away better. She also went away with a sense of peace, but that wasn't the most remarkable thing about her. Are you with me on this? That she went away healed. The word healing is not ambiguous in the New Testament. It means no longer ill. Okay? It's quite straightforward. So when we're talking about healing, there are levels of healing, but there is healing which is better. Are you with me? I think that's a straightforward reading of Scripture. Jesus made people better. So when we're talking about healing, we're thinking about the God who makes people better. One of the things that's, go to the next one. One of the things that this thing has been going around in my Christian life for the last however many years, and one of the things that has been I'm catching up with is that there's been this growing movement called Healing on the Streets. And what they do is they go to the street and they set up a banner with healing on it, just straightforward healing. And then there's someone like the person just on the left down there, on the right, or whichever side it is, down the front, handing out leaflets saying, would you like to be prayed for healing? Simple as that. And then there are some chairs, usually four or five or six, and they pray in pairs and they kneel down next to the people in front of them at eye height. The people sit down and they ask them what they need healing for, and then they pray for them in Jesus' name. This movement of people who are doing it out on the streets has been very successful. People have been healed throughout the UK as a result of very simple people, very simple prayers being prayed by normal people like you and me out there on the streets. And what the difference is that it's, well, there are a number of differences. Let's just look at the differences between this particular model of healing and the ones that I was actually brought up with myself throughout my Christian life, and I think is even different from the more recent ones that I was taught later on. So just some of the differences. One is that this healing happens out there as opposed to in church buildings. Significantly, Jesus did all his healing, or at least the vast majority, outside buildings. Even when he was inside buildings, people were digging holes in roofs in order for them to get healed. In other words, it was out there rather than inside church services. There is no hype. There is no emotional music to kind of warm people up to the environment. There's no kind of crowd-pulling kind of warm-up band. There's no lights and razzmatazz. There's no posters. It's very simple and straightforward out there on the street. One of the other things is that it's very gentle. There is no pushing going on here. People are invited to sit. They are not invited to stand, which I think is a little subtle difference. People are a bit more anxious if you're going to pray over them when you're standing, because they've seen on telly and other experiences where people fall down and they're worried about that. So this is not that. This is about being very gentle. The Jesus that we follow was the one who did not bruise a bent reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. He did not shout or raise his voice. There is a PA involved in this thing. They have a PA, they have a microphone and a stand, but they don't use it. The only reason they have one is for when revival breaks out and they need a bit of crowd control, which I think is lovely. So in other words, they don't recruit anyone with a microphone, because all this is going to happen is two people talking to each other audibly, gently. So it's gentle. The other thing is it's jargon-free. They don't use any fancy language, don't use any weird words, and also it's jargon free in terms of behavior as well. There's no weird Christian stuff to get in the way. People are not encouraged to speak in tongues out loud over people. They're not encouraged to shake or to manifest the Holy Spirit. They're not encouraged to do anything that looks slightly weird. You with me on that? What they want to do is to present Jesus as simply and as straightforwardly as possible, so that people know that it's Jesus who people are meeting and not the people themselves. The other thing is that it's based on compassion. I mean, we know that Jesus healed out of compassion. But the difference between this and maybe other things is that because there's no ego involved in this. There's a guy called Mark who started this thing up in his church, out on the streets outside his church. And he hasn't set up a brand or a method or a thing. He just is going around sharing stories of what he's done and encouraging other people to join in. There's no ego involved in this. This isn't about a particular movement of the Spirit in a particular place that you have to go and travel miles to. It's about compassion where people are out there on the street. The other thing, it's consistent. When churches do this, they don't do it as a one-off. They do it as a weekly event. So a small group of Christians will get together and commit themselves to be at a certain place for, say, 2 or 3 hours and offer themselves up for prayer. Now, you can get involved in this down at the Abbey at the moment. So you may have seen the flag down in the Abbey. And I was chatting to, what's her name? Peg, who was leading, was one of the pairs last week when we were down there in town. And she was talking about how exciting it was that God was healing people there and there out on the streets. It was a great day because on the one side of the Abbey, there were some people with placards against war and violence. And then around the side, there were some people praying for healing. And I thought, the church is doing what it should do. It's great. Next. And this is perhaps the most significant difference for me as I've grown up through my thing. It is peaceful and authoritative. Can I say something about that? Go to the next slide, Angus. It is based on trying to copy Jesus. I was chatting to Mike at the back yesterday, and I was just giving him, he's going to be one of the guys, because I think he's got a gift of healing that we want to encourage as a church. So I was chatting to Mike about how we would do this, and I was trying to explain the method, and he said, that sounds a bit like Jesus. and that's good. So what we're going to do is just briefly look at how Jesus did it. Jesus did it with compassion. He only prayed, it seems to me, out of a sense of compassion. Now, because we are like we are, we often pray out of a need in ourselves. If you're a church leader, you often pray out of a need for something to happen. Yeah? Because your neck's on the line. Or because you want your church to grow. Or you are worried about how people will think of you if something doesn't happen. You see what I'm saying? That there are some thoughts that go on sometimes in you as a church leader that are not about the person. Jesus didn't heal worrying about how he was looking, worrying about how other people were thinking. He healed because he had compassion on people in front of him. He was focused on the person in front of him, filled with compassion. So if you ever get to the point where you're praying for someone, question yourself, how do I feel about the person I'm praying for? Pray when you have compassion for them. It will be the engine that fires everything. The other thing is simple. It's not complicated. We are not going to pray. Jesus said, don't pray like the pagans do with long, fancy words, standing up, puffing themselves up. Pray very simply to your Father in heaven who hears you. Pray very simply. I'll say something about that in a moment a bit more. The other thing is that Jesus came with words and touch. Sometimes he said something very simple, like be clean. Other times he spat on someone or on some mud and then put it on their eyes. One time he touched someone's tongue, I think. Someone touched his cloak. There seems to be something about touch, and there seems to be something about commanding. One time he rebuked the spirit within someone, and they straightened their back as a result. Their back had been bent over, and Jesus identifies this as being a spiritual thing, and he straightens the woman's back by casting out a spirit. So he uses words, and he uses touch. Sometimes the church developed that, and we use oil as another way of symbolizing the blessing of all the gift of God. And lastly, and this is what I want to say about the simplicity thing, he used authority. The difference between this model and the others is that it's not about asking God for healing. You with me on this? Did you hear that statement? It's about taking authority in Jesus' name, which is a different thing from just petitioning God. Jesus healed from a place of rest. What I mean by that is that he was confident in his God. He was not anxious about himself. He was at peace within himself. There was no urgency. There was no panic. There was no fear. There was no anxiety. There was no desperation. He was peaceful and connected to the God who loved people. So he healed people with a sense of confidence and authority. And what he would do is that he would command healing. He would say to the ears, be open. He would command strength to the legs. He would take out... be healed! He would command them out of the room. No, he would command healing to happen. He would... Do you remember it says he rebuked the fever? Do you remember that word? Simon Peter's mother-in-law. The focus of Jesus' words were against the illness and the disease. They were not directed heavenwards towards God. And yet, he was in connection with his God. I only do what the Spirit tells me to do. I only do what I see the Father doing. You with me on this? Does that seem consistent with the Gospels? Okay. Then Jesus told other people to do it. And this is how he told other people to do it. Exactly the same way that he did it. So he took 12 of them together and he said, next slide. Oh, let me just go through this. Do you remember the centurion story? When he meets the centurion and they have the debate about who's in authority and under authority and all that. The centurion understood that he was under authority and therefore he had authority. Jesus was under the authority of God. He had delegated authority. And so he exercised his authority that he had been given. Yeah? Does that make sense? He was in authority because he was under authority. Jesus authorized his 12 disciples. So he authorizes, gives authority to the 12, who then go out and heal people. And it seems as if they kind of did the same thing that Jesus did, in a very simple, non-showy, dramatic way. Go, Jesus said, heal the sick, cast out demons, and announce the good news of the kingdom, which is at hand. He then authorizes another load more, 72. And they go out and do the same thing that Jesus did. So he authorizes, lays hands on them, as it were, and gives them away so that they can start doing what he does. They didn't get it right all the time. They didn't have 100% success rate, and neither did Jesus. Do you remember that? Sometimes Jesus went into a village, and there was no faith in the village, and so Jesus was unable to heal. On one occasion, he had to take the people who were doubting out of the environment so that he could then minister healing. So all the people left the room except for him and the person who was ill. He took away the mourners. Do you remember the girl who had died? He took away all those who lacked faith. So there were occasions where Jesus said, these kind need prayer and fasting. In other words, you need to be a little bit more prepared if you're going to be able to deal with these kinds of illnesses. There are a range of different reasons why healing was prevented, but it didn't prevent them from having the authority to do something. Jesus authorized, at the end of Matthew's gospel, it says, go therefore into the whole world and teach them, another load of disciples, to do everything that I have taught you. And I guess the word everything means all of it. Jesus didn't add a subclause saying, except for the bit about healing. Just focus on the loving people bit and leave out the healing bit. And clearly that's what happened, because Peter and John went to pray and they met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but what do I have give I thee? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Sunday school, it's such a great thing, isn't it? They had nothing except for the authority that Jesus had given them. They commanded the guy, rise up and walk. They didn't petition God. So, who are we? You might be sitting there thinking, well, who am I to be involved in this ministry? It's a good question. Who are you to be involved in this ministry? The answer is, of course, that giving your life to Jesus, you are a son or a daughter or a child of God, which is more than just being nice to God, you know, like, he's my son. like a pet is, ah, he's my pet. It's not that kind of gooey relationship. It is a relationship of attachments and of family and of commitment. We are co-heirs with Christ, which means we share the same destiny as Jesus. We are Jesus' body on earth, and we are God's ambassadors. Okay, so notice the difference between a command and a petition. Dear God, please make this mountain move. Please make this mountain move. Lord, we really want this mountain to move. Lord, just make this mountain move. We want this mountain to move. We want it not be here now. We want it to be over here now, Lord. Move this mountain. That is a petition. Mountain, be moved. That is a command. Okay? I pray, Lord, thank you for this person. We know that you love this person. Just bring your healing now, Lord, to this person. May they not have any more pain. Pray that their cancer would go. Pray that the leg would be strengthened. Pray, you know, that, is that like how you pray? That's how I have traditionally been taught to pray, to bring my petitions to God. I do not pray, leg, grow. Cancer, go away. I'm having to learn to follow Jesus and not the inherited model I've been given by those who are above me. Are you with me on this? Now notice that because it is a command, it doesn't mean that I have to shout or become loud or demonstrative or noisy or fancy or super spiritual or any of those things. Because I would do that from a place of rest. Have a look at the next picture. Who does it remind you of? She's not paying attention right now. She's got her head down on the... There she is. When you become a lollipop lady, as they are affectionately called, I don't know what the official title is. What's the official title? An SCPO? That sounds fantastic. It's got four words to it. What does S stand for? What? What? School Crossing Patrol Officer. Yes. That's fantastic. It's, as Lawrence said, it sounded like you come from Star Wars. 3CPO or something like that. Anyway, when you get given the authority of the orange or the luminous green jacket and the stop sign, it does not mean you shout at cars or you harass drivers. It means simply that you walk out. Well, sometimes it does, doesn't it, Caroline? But generally, because you have been authorized, you simply step out in front of the traffic and it stops. You with me? Jesus gives us authority. You don't have to be particularly gifted or courageous or brilliant or intelligent, or super spiritual, to be given the authority that God wants to give us. You don't have to be a brain surgeon, university trained, go to Bible college, or anything else, in order to carry the stop sign. God comes to authorize us for ministry. He gives us the jackets, the tools, and we simply step out and say, stop. No further, cancer. Go away. You with me? We don't need to be powerful. We don't need to shout. We don't need to be aggressive. We don't need to be complicated. As I was taught in my parenting class, all we need is calm, assertive statements. There is a difference between a parent who shouts aggressive, barky comments to their kids to try and get them to behave, and one that is confident and from a place of peace, commands them calmly and assertively to get into the car. And sometimes you doubt whether you've got the authority to do it. Don't we? And it's the same with healing. Who are we? Because this kid, this cancer, this illness will just mess us around one more time. Our voice is not strong enough. Jesus comes and says, I'll have you guys. You 12 and you 72, you 3,000 and so on. Okay. Notice that Jesus in the scriptures never used petitionary prayer when it came to healing. Isn't that interesting? And yet all my life I've been taught to pray for healing rather than learnt how to copy Jesus and to speak to illnesses in his name. I think I'm catching up. I'm now 40-something, and I wish I'd learnt this a bit earlier. Let's start, let's begin as a church to grow in confidence and take authority in Jesus' name. Okay, so what do we do? After the break, I'm going to model how to do something, and then there are four chairs up the front. We may need more later, but we're going to start with four chairs for people to come forward and to be prayed for. Okay, firstly, Angus, this next one, it's all about love. We remember that it's about love. So it is not about showing off. It's not about making anything more of it than loving the person who is in front of us. Because it's a gentle thing, we're inviting the people to sit down. We then get down to their level rather than stand over them in a position of authority. So we get down to their eye height. So we kneel and they sit. We ask the person what they've come for. We check that it's okay to lay hands on them. Just going back to the previous one, we ask the person, Jesus, do you remember Jesus asked, what would you like me to do to the person who was blind or to the beggar who was on the side of the street? It's worth asking the person, what exactly are you wanting prayer for? We then check if it's okay to lay hands on people because they may have all sorts of reasons why it might not be okay, and we want to treat them with respect. But if they allow us, then we would lay hands on them. We then invite the Spirit to come, because we're doing this from a place of peace and connection with God our Father through the Holy Spirit. So we invite the Spirit to come, fill us with his peace, and to fill the person with peace too. But we might do that inside our heads and just begin to worship Jesus inside our heads. We then pray from a position of rest and confidence, which the Bible would call faith, worshipping Jesus in our hearts. And we simply use very simple statements, taking authority over the illness or disease, ushering it away in Jesus' name. Stop, we say. Does that make sense to you? We then pray, because that doesn't take very long, does it? Doesn't take very long? Quite quick. We will then wait a bit and invite the Spirit to come and fill the person with God's love and his presence. And often at this time, people will begin to show evidence that their spirit is resting on them. And you may see that in their body. Sometimes people begin to get very hot. Other times it feels as if they can't stop their eyelids from flapping. And sometimes people shake a little bit or something like that. But they sometimes feel God's presence very powerfully upon them. Other time, people will suddenly feel very heavy and light, or heavy and light, heavy and kind of slumped. Other times, people feel like they're kind of completely opened up and light. So we pray into that experience and pray for God's peace and the knowledge of God's love to fill their hearts. We then at some point need to stop and ask them, how are you feeling? What's going on? Do you feel any different? Is it any better for you? And that's the bit when we're exercising faith, isn't it? Because suddenly we're going to know, is the person better or are they still not better? Because that's what a healing is. They might feel very peaceful, but that's not really what we're after, really. What we're after is for them to be better and peaceful. Does that make sense? Okay, so what next? Well, healing might happen. We're confident that healing will happen. And healing might be immediate. Alternatively, partial healing might come. They might go, well, it's not quite as stiff as it was, and I feel it's much looser. or they may feel that their back is less painful. Suddenly they feel they can bend down further than they used to be able to, or something. And so we might give thanks to God for their partial healing and then pray for more healing to come. Or they may have no healing experience. They may not be any better at all. They may still have a completely cricked neck, completely frozen shoulder. They may not have any way of telling whether they've been healed as well. That might be another experience. So what do we do when no one gets healed or someone doesn't get healed? Yeah, you with me still? We just want to remind ourselves what healing is. Healing is a sign that the God's kingdom is coming and that it's at hand. We're not, by following Jesus, bringing God's kingdom. We're not establishing God's kingdom. We are witnessing to the evidence that God's kingdom is coming, and one day it will completely cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So it's a sign. It's a first taste of this thing. Yeah. Secondly, it is heaven's rule being expressed on earth. Does that make sense to you? It's where a bit of heaven has changed the reality of earth. It is a taste of the future. In the future, everything will be restored and all things will be brought under unity, into unity and reconciliation with Jesus as the head of all things. Everything will be well and all tears will be wiped away. Healings are a present experience of that. They're a taste. They are a pointer to Jesus' resurrection. They tell people that Jesus really did rise from the dead. It's not just a myth or a story or a nice thought, but it really is true. And it's evidence that God loves the world. Healing is a gift. But what do we do when it doesn't happen? Because those things... In other words, what I'm saying there is that there's... Because it is not our right to claim it, it is not something that we can make happen and is our fault when it doesn't happen, because there are many reasons why healing doesn't happen, of which we don't always understand. We don't get disappointed. We don't build our faith on healing. We build our faith on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and is one day coming again. That's our creed. Our creed doesn't say, and all people will be healed in between times. So what about disappointment? Well, we exhibit peace and confidence. So we calm ourselves, and when they are not healed, we invite people to experience the peace and confidence that we have. We never blame the victim or the person who is ill. We reassure them about God's love, and we offer more prayer. We don't force them to have more prayer. We don't make them feel that they're bad for not having been healed. We don't feel bad ourselves for something not happening. We just invite people back for more prayer. We accept that we only see a little of what is happening around us. Does that make sense to you? In other words, we don't really know quite what's happening. Sometimes we don't have the insight that Jesus had over the spiritual world around us. So we don't quite know why things aren't working the way we would like them to. And we understand that we live in a battle, of which the final victory will be won at the end. So not all battles will be won now. Does that make sense? And yet we have confidence to stand. I guess it's a bit like Caroline standing in front of a car, and every now and again a car will go past and not stop for her. Yeah? It doesn't mean that she stops taking authority. It just means that that car, for a particular reason, didn't want to stop, or she couldn't make it stop. It's the same with us. We're going to keep going, standing in front of the illnesses that are coming our way in Jesus' name, and some of them will stop. You with me? Okay. That is the teaching, and we're going to model it after the break. So we're going to break bread now. We're going to remember that Jesus is among us, and then we're going to have donuts. Okay, so let's pray together.